Do you remember the key word in chapter 1? The just shall live by faith. And what a life! What a wondrous life it is in believing. See what the apostle calls it here in verse 13 of chapter 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So that's the kind of life that men of faith live. A life of joy and peace in believing. You notice the God of hope fill you right full to the top. This joy and peace fills our lives. Joy. Not the transient joy that we were listening about in the thought last night. Oh, another bucket full of words. Another killjoy. Put the crosses against all those things we like. No. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. He's given wine to make glad the heart of man. He's given us sex to enjoy. He's given us so many of the things of this life to enjoy if they're enjoyed in accordance with the way he's set down. And they are joys. Yes. When we think of some of those joys that the world takes wrongly, and there are the sights that dazzle, aren't there? I'm not that old, and I've got a memory. Every curve in place. My word, what a joy to behold. But you know, as we motor on life's way, we come across dangerous curves, and they're marked dangerous bends, recommended speed of approach. Don't approach them at 100 miles an hour. And that's where so many young men go wrong. They come in at 100 miles an hour. They're not dangerous, those curves, if they're approached at the right speed. God put them there for a purpose. The danger is in the one who approaches, not the curve. And if there is the cautious, slow approach to this joy, and there is a seeking further to what kind of character is there behind, that's where the world goes wrong, isn't it? She'd got it. And how? And after he'd been married to her for a while, he found that it was all she had got. And the marriage fell apart. There was nothing there to forge the working union that God intended in marriage. And it works the other way as well. Oh, you are strong. Well, I can only go by what others tell me there. I mean, from personal experience, I can't speak here. Life and soul of the party, he was. Cool. What a chap. Smashing sports guy, must have a pretty bank balance. And then, well, there are many girls in the world who see that, and for some of them it comes to pass. And then, when strength fails, as it will, and when the party's over, and they don't go on all your life. And when money's proved that it can only buy the situation that needs more money to maintain it, and more to maintain that, and ad infinitum, and doesn't buy happiness. And that was all he had got. And the marriage falls apart. And so, the young sister should look for the man who has, behind all these natural assets, yes, don't let write them off, if you haven't got any money at all, you will be in a mess. If you haven't got behind that the kind of character that will build in the home and give leadership in that home and be the head of the house, if you've got a young man in mind, tick these off against him now. Have you found out this much about him yet? Tick these things off. Guiding the way of the house in right ways, being a father to your children, and young men, that woman being the mother of your children. How would you bring them up? When you're at work, day after day, before they go to school, 5 years. Well, you say, if you go into all this, you'll never get married. Well, it does take time to make these decisions prayerfully, but that's what courtship's all about, or what it should be all about. Sit down first and count that cost. And for those who do and prayerfully do this, then for them sex is a joy that God designed. The trouble is that so many approach it just for the kicks. And if we approach those bends at 100 miles an hour, young men, if she's the right girl, we'll get a kick all right. Straight in the teeth, which is where we need it. And in the world of today, there is this silly reliance on one's self-control. And the bend is approached, and they'd overestimated the power of the brakes. I can keep myself under control right to the last second, and they overestimated the power of the brakes. It isn't always those responsible for the accidents that are the only ones who get hurt. And think ahead of those young eyes who one day look rather more thoughtfully at mummy and daddy when they do their sums about their birthday and the day that mummy and daddy got married, and see the shaking in what had been that confidence. It isn't always the two who are responsible for the accident that are the ones that get hurt. But marriage can be such a joy. and children too. They're called mixed blessings sometimes. They're a blessing from the Lord. Let's be quite frank about that. And in married life, when the family comes along, the Lord has once again taken a child and set him in the midst. And you'd be amazed what you learn about yourself from a little child, especially when he's yours. When he's good, he's our son. When he's bad, he's my son. Well, so I'm told. But we don't argue. I know it's not true. And you watch the forbidden joys and you think, that's just how my Father in heaven's watching me. You know, the new bed you've bought for each of the children, and you're penniless now, and you lay down the law about what's going to happen if I catch you jumping on that bed. Now, they're free expression people down the road, and so little Willie down the road can do what he likes. Foolishly enough. But little lad in my home, he can't. And that makes it all the more desirable. And so downstairs you hear a ka-doing, ka-doing. What's that? And then, oh! And then, with the stealth of years of practice, we stare at the man. And we come to the door, and we wait for that judicious moment to enter when he's in midair with a look of bliss that stolen fruit always brings. And then he sees you. Oh. And down he comes in more ways than one. The joy is short lived. Father sees to that. And the wrong joys are short-lived. Our Father in heaven sees to that. Because he loves us. Works in the human relationship too. As Daddy's hand descends, he's tried words and they've failed. So we go one further and the hand descends. And I remember one day, my older son, through his tears, said, "Oh, Daddy," he said, "your hand does hurt." He said, "You've made me very unhappy." And the hand. And a little while after that, he came up quietly. He sat on my lap. And we made each other happy again. Each other. And this is the blessing of family life. No chastening for the present is joyous. We're talking about joy, and no chastening for the present is joyous, and the Father in heaven doesn't enjoy chastening us. But afterward, when we come chastened, and we make each other happy again in prayer. That spirit between Father and Son, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Ah, the joys of the sonship of God. Joys even of the things of the truth can be passing in one sense. This weekend, which has been so enjoyable, was a time when I came to these weekends a long time ago. I used to have to pay for it and I have to work for it. The one way or the other, you pay. But it's enjoyable, isn't it? Mixing with one another. And yet, even these can pass on life's way. The time comes to go home, however neatly we've folded our pajamas and put them beneath the pillow. No good. We have to pack them and go home. We come from the heights into the world again. But this joy of which the apostle here is speaking is a joy that doesn't pass. He goes on in the verse, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And those who share these qualities of the mind of God through His Word. This holy power, this great mind of God, have a joy that doesn't fade. It just grows and abounds. And we think of those men who abounded in joy in that first century. It was something that puzzled the rulers. When someone was doing something that they said they shouldn't, and they went on doing it, they beat them, and that knocked the joy out of them. But not these men. Not these men who'd been with Jesus. And it was something that absolutely baffled them. They called the apostles, and when they'd beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. What can you do with men like that? You don't drive their joy from them in beating. You drive them further and more inseparably toward it. It's part of them. You can't beat one of the eternal qualities that God has given out of a man with a rod. You drive it further into him. They found that out. Or Paul and Silas, with their backs in ribbons, started singing. It's a joy you can't beat out of a man. And the jailer was baffled. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And their joy was passed on to him and to others, who passed it on again and again. This wondrous joy that multiplies and multiplies under the great hand of God. And peace. Well, there's got to be peace for joy to abound. If there isn't, there can't be joy. There must be peace of mind. You know, it's rather like the young man who is called upon to propose a vote of thanks at some great occasion, and he hasn't enjoyed the meal at all, and he's all knotted up, and he sort of scrambles to his feet, and his tongue gets stuck in his mouth, and he says, "I can't tell you how much pleasure it's giving me." And you think, this isn't giving him any pleasure at all. He's ruined his meal. He's most unhappy. There has to be a peace of mind before one can really experience enjoyment, this joy of God. And we made our peace, didn't we? What king? We're a king of our own little empire. What is man that thou art mindful of him in the great work of creation? And he was king of his own little empire. Me. What king going to be at enmity with or at war with another king, the king of heaven, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with his little force to meet or be at enmity with a force like that? young people who did not take the emblem this morning, there are two costs to count in these two parables here. Don't forget to count that one. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth, and there is this two-way action of man to God and God to man. He sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. And we made our peace with God, those of us who are baptized. A great peace, not the transient peace that the world knows. When they're rather jiggered up mind because of all the kind of living it up that's going on, and they go to the doctors and he gives them pills, tranquilizers. You try smoking, take that of them. He says, in his worldly wisdom. And nicotine brings that peace till the packets run out. Doesn't that? So there's more then. And then stronger. And there's cannabis and marijuana and oh, so many of them that bring this peace. Peace. That's not peace. And it passes. And they come down to earth again, only further down than they were before. But the peace that this world word brings, this word of God, is a peace that no man can destroy. The wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest but casts up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. Well, I suppose there is. In his kingdom, when all creation has fulfilled his purpose, they will be there, the wicked. And they will be in that rest. And they will be at peace. And the epitaph will be there. Rest in peace forever. And the man who's immortalized by God will be able to pick up that dust and trickle it through his fingers. Was it a Jew? Was it a Gentile? Don't know. The memory of him is forgotten, but he'll be there. Just dust. All still part of God's creation. From the dust he was made, to the dust he returned. Phase 2 misfired for him. Phase 1 forevermore. But for the others, for those who are redeemed and immortalized and are saved and behold the King in his glory, the psalmist says, they shall have dominion over the wicked in the morning, in that great morning without clouds. And they'll walk about on them, the dust of the earth, which the meek will have inherited. And they will have entered into the rest of God. What a glorious rest that will be. What unspeakable joy. These are the eternal things. And we're called upon by God to start to enjoy these things now, that in his mercy then we may share in them unfettered by this body of death, which will have been changed, the shackles thrown off, no longer those promptings of the flesh that made Paul say, wretched man that I am, because there will be left the character which God wants, given a body like unto the angels. Like, says John, unto his body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, phase two of this great creation plan will all have been accomplished. Phase one won't have been thrown away. The earth, in all its beauty, unmarred by the efforts of men and the effect of sin, will be there for them to enjoy forever. When God, that great mind, that almighty mind, dwells with men, his purpose completes. I don't know what that will be like. I can only reach out for it in faith, knowing that a loving Father will have called his sons to something that is utterly wonderful, even if his poor little son can't fully comprehend it. And so the apostle writes, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren," and here is dedication, not, "Oh, better make an effort to get down to this, I suppose, and let us all this. You're a witness coming on. The enjoyment of it. The joy of it. Be ye steadfast, utterly dedicated, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And so we come to the subject, a witness, in which our brother Harry will lead us in a few minutes' time.